This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen. And now for the latest in politics, where, believe it or not, there is actually some news today that does not have to do with the presidential election. The number two Republican leader in the Senate, Trent Lott, is announcing his resignation today in his home state of Mississippi. Lott was reelected just last year, and he had 5 years to go on his current term, so this announced departure caught many by surprise. For an explanation, we turn now to our senior Washington editor, Ron Elving. Hi there, Ron.
Hello, Alex.
So what's going on here? We haven't heard that catchphrase, I'm going to spend more time with my family just yet. What's Trent Lott's reason here?
Alex, he says his health is fine. He just had his 66th birthday last month. It's about an opportunity to go out and make a good deal more money. Now, we don't want to simplify and just say Lott goes for the loot, but it's very possible that he looks around, he sees people lobbying in Washington, making at the top end of a scale $1 million a year and more, and he sees a lot of other former senators doing it. And he says, this is the best time for me to do it.
And what's up with the timing of all of this? Why now? Why so suddenly?
No coincidence. There is a new law taking effect on January 1st that says that a senator can't lobby his old colleagues for 2 years after he leaves the Senate. Now, the old rule was 1 year. 2 years is a lot longer. Things change over 2 years. So if he wants to cash in when his value, if you will, his street value, K Street being the street in question here, is at its maximum, this is the time.
So if he was so eager to start making money in the private sector, why did he run for re-election just last year?
The key word here is that he wanted to get back his reputation. He was seeking redemption. He had had that downfall in the fall of 2002 after he made remarks at the 100th birthday party of Strom Thurmond about the 1948 election. It was a segregationist issue. They were deemed very insensitive racially. President Bush kind of read him out of the party, and he lost his position as the Senate majority leader, which he'd had for 6 years. And then the next thing that happened was Hurricane Katrina. He got a little bit of his reputation back fighting for his home state of Mississippi after Katrina.
Where he lost his own home.
Where he lost one of his own homes. He lost his Gulfside home. And that, in fact, really brought him back in the popularity eyes of Mississippians and to some degree also in Washington, really set him against the Bush administration. And he wanted to come back and fully redeem himself by getting back into leadership, which he did. He was reelected and then took the number two slot right behind Mitch McConnell in the Republican leadership in the Senate.
Now, Ron, you didn't think we would let you escape without talking just a wee bit about the presidential election. And today we'd like to focus on CW, conventional wisdom. What's the conventional wisdom surrounding the elections right now?
There has been one great consensus in the media this year that because of the accelerated calendar of primaries beginning in Iowa on January 3rd, 2 days after New Year's Day, that we were going to have the nominees in both parties very quickly, not only because of the early events in January, but because 20-some states were all voting on February 5th. So the conventional wisdom has been the big candidates will wear down the little candidates very quickly, and we'll have our nominees in both parties by February 5th.
Ron, I'd like you to stay on the line for just a moment. We're going to hear now from some of our voters that we've been checking in with here on Day to Day. We wanted to get their take on this so-called conventional wisdom. First up, we'll hear from Shannon Jackson. She's 29 years old and a corpsman in the U.S. Navy in San Diego. I asked Shannon if she thought her vote would count if everything's going to be wrapped up so early.
I hope so, that it does actually count. I think so.
Another piece of conventional wisdom that's been talked about a lot is that pretty much we know who the top contenders are right now. It's
right.
Clinton and Barack Obama on the one hand, and on the other hand, Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
How does that affect you when they're saying, okay, forget about all those other candidates?
Well, that's kind of the way I thought about it anyway. I think that's kind of bad. But, you know, when you have a playing field with so many candidates, kind of just picking out who the front runners are, I think kind of helps people to focus in. So I think maybe that helped me. It kind of helped me actually to make my decision. I don't think that I'm being so bombarded with so many different candidates. And those are the four that I kind of expected.
Shannon Jackson from San Diego, California. Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day.
And next we go to Phil Buchanan. He's a retired teacher living in Melrose, Florida. Welcome back, Mr. Buchanan.
Thank you.
So as we all know, Florida in the past can be very influential when it comes to presidential elections. But this time around, conventional wisdom says, nope, forget about Florida. It's all about Iowa and New Hampshire. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's a misconception. I really believe that Florida has a big role to play in the nomination process for the next president.
And what role do you think that's going to be?
Well, I think we'll be influential. We're a very diverse state, probably 10, 12 million voters. I think that it'll probably get a really good indication of who the true front runners are once Florida does have their primary on the 29th.
Mr. Buchanan, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure.
We go now to Jim McKinney. He lives in Los Angeles right now. He is traveling in Dallas, Texas. And the last we heard from him, Jim said he was leaning towards Obama or Giuliani. So, Jim, what do you make of all of this conventional wisdom that says right now it's not Obama's not even being in the picture. It's going to be Clinton.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton has been in the public eye at the highest level for an awfully long time. It's not surprising that it might take Obama a while to get better known. I mean, that's true with me. I'm getting to see more of the guy, and I like Barack Obama the more that I see him. So I think that there's plenty of time for people like myself to get to know Barack Obama as well as we know Hillary Clinton.
And conventional wisdom would say people like you don't even exist. I mean, who would consider both Obama and Giuliani at the same time? What is conventional wisdom not getting about people like you, the independents?
For myself, and I suspect for others like me, that we're interested in someone who wants America to do bold things at a societal level again, like get us off of foreign oil in a real way, or you know, readdress the tax system, or things that the conventional wisdom says are so entrenched status quo that they can't happen. And I think that a candidate like Obama and Giuliani offer the best option for that.
Jim McKinney, an independent voter who lives in Los Angeles, California, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's go back now to NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Okay, Ron, so what's DC's take on all this conventional wisdom?
As we approach the end of the year, and as more people start paying attention, like the voters you were talking to, once they start to really focus in, then people start to react differently to the candidates, and they start telling the pollsters something different, and other candidates start raising money. So, for example, Iowa, which had looked very cold, very locked down for Mitt Romney on the Republican side and for Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, now looks to be in play. So if Iowa does not go as predicted, that could have an effect on New Hampshire, and that could have an effect on South Carolina and eventually on Florida on the 29th of January. And perhaps we will actually see multiple candidates emerge even from February 5th, still viable, still able to compete. And we may see this contest go on into February.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving.